Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, joined by NBA champ Kendrick Perkins and our senior writer, host of the Low Post podcast, Zach Lowe. Gentlemen, coming up, we're going to talk a little Blake Griffin. He has, of course, agreed to join the Brooklyn Nets. Does this change your outlook on the rest of their season? That's coming in just a few minutes. First, though, the All-Star Game is usually one of my absolute favorite NBA events. Not only is it the one time of year that the sport's brightest lights are all in one place, it's a celebration of the show business side of a sport that is flat out fantastic at showmanship. Big stars doing big things in front of big crowds, crowds that are usually peppered with even more big names. No other sport can match the flavor of the NBA at its best. But, of course, it's impossible to be at your best in the middle of a pandemic. And it is really hard to get fans excited about something that the players themselves so clearly were not excited about. For weeks, we have been hearing guys criticize this game happening at all. And as if on cue, the news crossed like an arrow on Sunday morning. The barber that Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons had used before getting to Atlanta tested positive for COVID, which meant they were both held out of the game for contact tracing. It was a blow not only for the everything is fine crowd, but also to the game itself, which was already missing Kevin Durant, Anthony Davis, Devin Booker. Still, if we know anything about an event based in theater, there are always understudies, and there were still plenty of sights to be seen. Steph Curry winning the three-point contest with his usual flair, then afterward dedicating the trophy to his splash brother, Klay Thompson. The FAMU and Grambling State marching bands being part of player introductions was a pretty great touch, as were the stream of HBCU celebrations throughout the evening. Now, personally, I'm never that impressed when a game is used as an excuse to donate money to a cause. This wasn't a case of ticket sales being a fundraiser. In fact, the exact same amount of money could have been donated by the NBA or its partners without a single basketball being bounced in Atlanta. But the awareness raised by peppering the broadcast with segments that raised up the HBCUs and endorsed them over and over, that is seriously valuable and something worth applauding. Now, once the game itself started, it became pretty clear it was not going to be competitive. But getting to see players who are normally rivals play together was still great fun. And while Steph and LeBron couldn't quite seem to get a high five together, that was troubling. The obvious kick that they got out of playing, it's just a high five, gentlemen. The obvious kick they got out of playing each other, it was a nice reproach, right, to all the internet trolls who spend so much time trying to pit them against each other. We also got fun dance moves from Giannis and Nikola Jokic. I mean, I think that's dancing. I don't really know. We also got the dunk contest at halftime, and that was, frankly, Oprah and Meghan Markle dunking on the royal family over on CBS, much more violent than anything that happened in Atlanta last night. I don't know if the NBA just needs to rethink this event entirely, given that the league's best dunkers annually refuse to participate. But when even Magic Johnson is tweeting that something is bad, yeah, that's a problem. At least we got some pyrotechnics in the second half of the game. No, not from LeBron, who stuck to his pledge to not go all in on this weekend by not even playing in the third or fourth quarter. Giannis, however, clearly having a ball, ripping through the paint at will, even knocking down three three-pointers, a 16-for-16 performance that would earn him the game's MVP trophy. And man, Steph and Dame Lillard, yeah. They were just ridiculous. I don't know when they're going to add a four-point line to the All-Star game, but they clearly need one. Steph just kept hitting shot after shot. Look at Aisha. After shot from long range. Look at this. I mean, how demoralizing is it in an All-Star game when someone actually bothers to play defense and pokes the ball away, and Steph still just tosses it in there. Now, Lillard, just as ridiculous. Watch when he pulled up from there. I mean, come on. And it was Dame who would end the game on a pass from Steph. And you can see it at ground level. Steph actually does the Dame wave before the shot went in. The same wave that Dame gave Paul George in the playoffs a couple years ago. Remember, at the time, PG called Lillard's game winner a bad shot. But hey, give PG credit. Last night, he corrected himself.
Well, I guess I was criticized for the right reason, for calling Dame's shot in the playoffs a bad shot. I see these guys' range is crazy.
Now, after the game, the All-Stars scattered quickly as they have to turn around and start playing again when the league fires back up just this Wednesday. Hey, if we learned anything this weekend, it's that the show must go on. So, Perk, when you look at it, was the All-Star juice worth the squeeze to you?
It really was, Rachel. And look, I was one of the people out there saying that they shouldn't have the All-Star game, and Adam Silver must have saw me on the jump and said, Perk, shut up, I'm going to fix you. And he got me good because, I you know what? I enjoyed every single moment of the All-Star game, far as the skills challenge, the dunk contest, the three-point contest, and the game, watching the players play with great joy. But to go back to your point, it wasn't about the donations to the HBCUs. It was the way that the NBA and everyone celebrated the HBCUs mm-hmm. in the heart of the HBCUs. So the juice was worth the squeeze. You know, watching Steph Curry, LeBron James, Giannis, Dame Dolla play with such joy was just fun to watch. So I was impressed. I enjoyed it. And my apologies to Adam Silver, because you are the best commissioner in sports.
Very nice, Perk. What about you, Zach?
So I feel a little selfish answering this question as someone who wasn't there, right? I would leave it to the players and everyone who had to go in, some from across the country, three time zones away, stay in a hotel, fly right back those three time zones. That's a real sacrifice. But I will say, I do think it was worth the squeeze because it was really fun. And the players mm-hmm. seemed to have a lot of fun. And what you want from All-Star are indelible moments that you'll remember, right? You'll remember Mike Conley getting his first All-Star bucket. You'll remember Jason Tatum slapping the floor and daring his teammate Jaylen Brown to beat him one-on-one. You'll remember Steph and Dame and Steph really trying to win the three-point shootout. You'll remember all of that. And yeah, Ben and Joel having to contact Trey's out of it, that's a bummer. It highlighted the risk. But I don't think it was one of these things where it highlighted that the whole event was irresponsible. The NBA treated this like a super, super intense regular season game. More testing, more quarantine. The exposure came before they got to Atlanta. It appears they did not come in contact with anyone in Atlanta. This is the kind of stuff that's been happening in the regular season period. Who knows what would have mm-hmm. happened? Who knows what's been going on right now with the players around the country? So I do think, I get why the optics were bad, but I think it was worth the squeeze. And that's before you get into what they did for HBCUs in terms of exposure and all that.
Yeah, and look, we just showed some video right there of Giannis with his son Liam, which was really cool. Those moments are so great. We remember the video of Steph Curry as a kid with his dad, Dell, right? So who knows? Maybe we'll be showing that video 20 years from now, talking about little Liam Antetokounmpo. And Giannis had a great quote after the game. One of the reporters was asking him about just sort of the reckless abandon, in a good way, right? The positive joy that he was playing with and how he just launched those three-pointers as if he didn't have a care in the world if they went in or not. And he was just having so much fun. And he had a great line. He said, "This season, I am choosing fun over fear." He said, "I'm not going to be scared anymore if it doesn't go in or what it's going to look like." I thought that was really cool. And Steph Curry had a mic drop line after the game as well, which we will get to later in the show. So that's a little tease for you. But I want to get to Blake Griffin next, because the six-time All-Star is officially joining the Nets after agreeing to a buyout with the Pistons. He's 31 years old. He's using one of the Nets' veteran minimum contract slots, and not exactly the same player today that he once was, but can definitely still be a contributor. He averaged 12 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists in 20 games with Detroit this season. Zach, does this signing change your outlook on the Nets at all?
A little bit, yeah, because I do think Blake is going to look better in Brooklyn than he did in Detroit. Number one, you'll have the Nick Batum effect. We're just going to a contender. He's going to be more juiced up. He's going to just want to be there more. And his shot diet is going to be so much easier. Like, his three-point percentage has gone way down because he's taking crazy difficult off-the-dribble step-back looks. In Brooklyn, that's going to be catch the ball, check the wind, launch it up. And I bet he shoots 38% or something from three in Brooklyn. He can be a playmaking center for them. Now, will he be part of their crunch time five? You could make an argument that if Jeff Green is going to be a better defensive player than Blake Griffin and a better shooter, both of which have been the case this season, that Jeff Green should be that small ball five in crunch time over Blake. Maybe that ends up being the case. Either way, there's nothing bad about adding a little more versatility, another look. He can play a little bit with DJ if you want to go super big in the right matchup. They've obviously played a ton together. There's nothing bad about adding that kind of flexibility, versatility. So is it a game changer? Is this prime Blake Griffin? Is it possible that he warms the bench when it really matters? All that, yeah, but it still helps. It's helpful.
Yeah, I agree. Look, I'm not saying that. This is how I feel about the signing, okay? I feel that with Blake Griffin being signed with the Brooklyn Nets, it doesn't change my outlook on it. I feel like the Brooklyn Nets are still going to be one of the teams to be favored to win the East. I mean, win the championship, whether it's with Blake or without Blake. But adding depth, okay? We don't know if Blake Griffin can come back to his old self, like how he used to posterize a guy like yours truly, Kendrick Perkins, and put him in the rim. We haven't seen that a lot lately. And if they're going to go small, Blake Griffin is going to have to mix it up and be diving to the basket and being able to be that live threat at the rim. He's not going to be picking and popping as much because he's going to be playing the five. But I think adding him and adding that depth is always good to have a former all-star, former superstar in your back pocket that you could throw out there that's coming in off the bench. Because when you're a contender, especially what's going on for us with the COVID cases, we don't know if guys will be out in the playoffs. This is not like the bubble. Yep. And you got a guy like Blake Griffin that could step in and fill in. Hey, it's still a plus in my eyes.
Yeah, he's a vet who's pretty much, you know, seen everything, if he hasn't quite done everything. And you're right, he's not going to be posterizing people, Perk. It's actually been quite a long time since Blake dunked. This is video of his last slam in a game. This was December 12th, 2019. So he has not dunked in a game for 2 years, and his injury issues have been well chronicled. But Perk, what do you still feel like? I mean, his game has gotten so much richer over the years. He hasn't leaned just into his athleticism. What do you like most about watching the Blake version that we have right now, even if it doesn't have all the high-flying dunks?
Well, you know what? To be honest with you, Rachel, his athleticism has kind of went down. But guess what? His skill set has risen. Yep. And he's able to do more. I'm watching him on the low block. He's showing a variety of post moves. That's maybe something that Brooklyn could look to utilize. His face-up jumper, his bank shot off the glass is pretty much automatic. And I'm with Zach Lowe. His three-point percentage will increase because he's going to get more wide-open looks. I can see him standing in the corner while Kevin Durant or James Harden is driving to the lane and kicking it out to him, and he's having all the time in the world to step up and hit those shots. So, again, yes, we haven't seen the Blake Griffin of old for his athleticism, but he has sharpened his skill set over the past couple of years.
Yeah, Zach, I like that. Check the wind, maybe go down the street to our friend Howard Beck's house, have a little kale salad, come back. Totally fine. All right, guys, coming up, we're going to talk a little more about Giannis. He won the MVP after a perfect, perfect night from the field in the All-Star game. Is that something, nothing, or everything? Our favorite game coming up next on The Jump. It's time for one of our favorite segments on The Jump, something, nothing, or everything. Shout out Kevin Wildes. This is our All-Star Edition, friends. First, the Greek Freak won Sunday night's MVP after making all 16 of his shot attempts, including two banked-in threes. The previous record for a perfect All-Star night was Hal Greer in 1968, who went 8 for 8. That is impressive, Perk. That's more than 50 years ago. Is Giannis winning All-Star MVP something, nothing, or everything?
It's everything to me, Rachel. And yes, Giannis was out there having fun, but you could tell he was playing hard and he was on a mission. If you look at all the greats from LeBron James, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Kevin Garnett, the list goes on. Majority of them have that accolade, that individual accolade of winning All-Star MVP in a trophy case. So I think this is everything for us, for Giannis individually adding this to his trophy case. And I love the passion that he played with. This is a guy that you could drop down anywhere in America. LA Fitness with Zach Lowe is featured at the YMCA, and he's going to bring that same passion. You know I love you, Zach Lowe. I heard about you at LA Fitness, though.
First of all, I'm not taking a charge from Giannis at LA Fitness. I'm making a business decision to get right out of the way. Look, I bet you all expect me to be the cranky one who's like, it's the All-Star game. It's nothing. No way. It's something. I can't go everything, but it's definitely something. My man went 16 of 16, and the basketball gods made sure that last three went in when Reggie Miller was screaming, no, no, no. You can't go 16 of 16 in the All-Star game without it being something. As Perk said, the players care about All-Star MVP. I think they care even more about it now that the trophy is named for Kobe Bryant. And it was awesome to see the joy that he played with and all that. You can go 16 of 16 at LA Fitness against me, and it still means something. So I think it's definitely something. It's just not everything. He can't get in everything until the playoffs, but it was awesome. It was a great night for Giannis.
It was really moving to hear him talk about what that trophy meant to him. He said, I have a now going to have a trophy with Kobe Bryant's name in my house. And we know, of course, Kobe really was very fond of Giannis. He tweeted at him, MVP is a challenge, before Giannis ever won one. So that was a really nice full circle moment there. All right, next up, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons pulled from the All-Star game for health and safety protocols after contact with a Philadelphia barber who later tested positive for COVID-19. Now, Doc Rivers said Sunday he's hopeful they will be back by Thursday, but that depends on the league's contact tracing program, how much risk the doctors assess them to have been at. If they have to sit a full week, they could miss two games against the Bulls Thursday and the Wizards on Friday. So, Zach, Sixers duo missing the All-Star game, possibly multiple games more, something, nothing, or everything.
Obviously, it's something. This is, you know, the world we live in now. And the most important thing right off the bat is hopefully the barber is okay, because this thing is no joke. It hits some people really hard. And our focus immediately was, who's out for the All-Star game? Is there going to be a replacement? No, the focus is with should be with the barber. But yeah, I mean, this is the reality of the world until things change. And this is going to keep happening in the second half of the season until and unless there's sort of mass vaccination. And the second half of the season doesn't have that built-in cushion at the back of the schedule, at least as things exist now. So the NBA just has to cross its fingers and hope that a team doesn't have a Spurs situation or a Wizards situation where they have to be parked for a long time, because then it raises questions about how exactly the schedule is going to work. But this was something, and it reinforced, even though the NBA did a great job apparently taking care of everything, it reinforced that there was some risk. There was a nightmare scenario that existed with All-Star. It appears they've avoided it, though.
You know what? Look, Rachel, Zach, I was looking at Doc Rivers' body language on the sideline, right? And I'm thinking maybe because he had to see Kawhi and Paul George, two guys that wanted him out of L.A., but that wasn't the case. He was more concerned about Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons and what is the effect that it's going to have on their team. When you look at this 76ers team, they were playing expiring winning basketball before the All-Star break. And one thing you don't want to mess up is chemistry. Usually when you come in after the All-Star break, you want everyone healthy. This is when you want to hit your stride. This is when you start really playing agenda-free basketball, because there's nothing else to make. I mean, obviously, you could go for your individual awards, but everything else is all about coming together and for the marathon on trying to win the championship. And them just missing two games is a lot. From an injury standpoint, guys coming back, not really having their legs and not being able to go out there and practice or whatever the case may be, you could have that risk of injury. So it's everything to me. Hopefully everyone will be fine. We see these two studs back on the court again soon, but I feel Doc Rivers right now. I can see it in his face. I've been knowing him for 20 years.
I was going to say, you know Doc and Zach, right, too. The NBA in some ways got a little bit lucky here. If the COVID test from the barber had come back, I don't know, 6 hours later than it did, or 8 hours, I don't know what the exact swing is, those guys would have been in the locker room with their All-Star teammates. And so then you would have looked at a much more sprawling contact tracing situation that they didn't have to go through. And that is partly because they've had rigorous testing all the way throughout, and partly luck, which they got lucky in that regard. And we do send our best to the barber who was infected and hope that Joel and Ben come out of this safely. All right, let's move on to LeBron. He started. He did play nearly 13 minutes in the first half. Then he took the entire second half off, allowing Damian Lillard to start the third quarter for him. LeBron even enjoying a snack on the bench as his team rolled to a 20-point victory. Perk, is LeBron sitting the second half something, nothing, or everything?
It's nothing, Rachel, but one thing, just like I would never doubt Adam Silver again, I would never doubt LeBron James' GM skills again, because he's 4-0. He knew what he was doing when he picked Giannis with the number one pick, knowing that Giannis was going to come out there and carry the load, and then add Dame Dolly and Steph Curry to the mix along with a Jaylen Brown, and putting that nickname under him, Jaylen Underappreciated Brown, so he could light a fire into him, knowing he was going to sit out in the second half and be a player coach. LeBron James ain't fooling nobody. I knew exactly what he was doing.
I think it's everything. It's everything. The image of LeBron snacking on the sideline is going to be one of the defining images of this game. And he's a 17-time All-Star. He's earned it. I say we take it to a new extreme next year. Let's get a platter with forks and knives, a full-on five-course meal going on the bench. Bring back the glass of wine. Remember he walked in one day with the glass of wine? Just have a nice, leisurely second half of the game. Team LeBron was so good, they didn't even need LeBron. And why not just relax and take in the festivities? He's the, you know, the next modern-day Jordan. Let's let him enjoy it.
I smell a jump staff Photoshop coming up in a coming episode. Just saying. All right, coming up, Pelicans wing Josh Hart is going to join the jump to talk New Orleans, Top Shot, and the surprise he has for Perk. Stay tuned. This is good. We now welcome in Pelicans guard Josh Hart. Josh, it's great to have you. You are here on behalf of NBA Top Shot, which we saw you talking about in that clip. Digital collectibles, if you have not been on this planet for the last month or so, well, you know what they are. NFTs, non-fungible tokens. Look it up, people, if you don't know. This entire industry just exploding. Josh is going to tell us what got him interested in Top Shot, and he's going to gift Perk a pack that we will open live on the air. But let's talk basketball first, because Josh, your Pelicans came into the All-Star break in 11th place, which with the play-in scenario actually still puts you in the thick of potentially earning a playoff spot. So what are your expectations for your squad in the second half of this season?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we want to get to the playoffs. That's the biggest thing for us. You know, we want to get to that, you know, 6-7 seed, so we don't have, you know, that play-in tournament, playing games and all that. So, you know, we're going to go in, focus a lot on the defensive end, make sure we're committed on that side of the ball, and then, you know, offensively, you know, we're, you know, a top five ranked offense in the league. So, you know, we know we're going to score the ball. We just got to make sure we stop other people from scoring.
Hey, Josh, listen, I'm a big fan. Let's not talk about, you know, our little wager we had on the Super Bowl, because I don't want to put you on blast about what you owe me, okay? So I'm going to leave that out of it. But listen, I want to talk about, you're one of my favorite players, first of all. I love how you've been attacking the glass lately, getting those double-digit rebounds. But listen, how does it feel to play with Zion? And I just think he's a superstar in the making. But I want you to tell me about his maturity level, how he's able to handle things on and off the court, because he's very mature for his age. So I just want, like, how does it feel playing with him?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, guys like him and B.I., like, those two are amazing to play with because they're so unselfish. It's not, you know, for them, it's not about points, numbers, stats, anything like that. It's about winning. So he's going to do whatever it takes to win. If that means he got to go out there and score 35, he's going to do that. If that means he's going to get other guys involved, he might only have, you know, 20, but has 8-9 assists, and everyone's in the rhythm, knocking down shots around him. He's going to do that. So is amazing, and obviously he has so much hype around him for the last year or two. And for a 20-year-old, you know, I don't know how he hasn't got a big head yet, but I just, you know, speaks to, you know, like you said, his maturity, his character level, you know, the family that he has. So he's just humble, he's level-headed, and I mean, it's great I get to play with someone like this young.
Absolutely. Yeah, you get to see him become what we all know he's going to become, which is going to be among the league's best for a long time. Josh, now, look, we talked about Top Shot a little bit at the beginning of this segment. What got you interested in this to begin with?
So my brother mentioned it to me, you know, probably like a month ago, probably in like January, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just like rubbed it off. I was just like, I'm paying to see highlights, so I can go on YouTube. I can go on YouTube and type in to see these same highlights. Like, what is, like, why am I paying money for this?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he kind of didn't say much about it. Then like 3 weeks later, mentioned it to me again. I was like, all right, you know what? I'm gonna just go on and see what it's about. And then I started seeing the community and how tight-knit the community is, and how fun it is to kind of, you know, just to talk to people about similar interests.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, you know, opening packs and just trying to collect them. And, like, I'm competitive. So especially, like, Tyrese Halliburton is one of the other, like, big, you know, guys, NBA guys in Top Shot. So, like, you know, he doesn't know this, but, like, I secretly, like, look at his account. I'm like, all right, I got to have more moments.
My moments got to be more. Tyrese Halliburton. This is what's happening.
This is what happened. He doesn't know that. He'll probably see a clip from this and be like, oh, that's what Josh is doing. But, like, yeah, I'm competitive. Seeing the other NBA guys, I'm like, I gotta, you know, be on the top of this, you know, this triangle. So I just like having fun with it. It's fun to collect. And it gives you an added bonus when you're, you know, an actual player. Could be kind of like your own moments you can collect.
Yeah.
Your teammates, former teammates, stuff like that.
Well, hey, J-Hart, look, on the jump, Rachel could tell you, we keep it 100. We keep it real on here, okay? I want to know, are you just collecting these for the Top Shot, or is this an investment? Are you trying to get lettuce out of it? We need to know the real.
Yep.
Honestly, I'll say a little bit of both. Because for me, obviously, you know, you have, you know, cards. I pull like a mellow hollow card, which is, you know, like think like the lowest ask is like $10,000, something like that. So it's like something like that. So I can like hold on to that and like let that, you know, it would appreciate over time, you know, as more people get in and more, you know, Top Shot expands, you know, that would be worth even more. But then I have fun collecting. I have, you know, I'm like one of the regular dudes out there. I'll be like selling some moments because I want to buy, you know, want to buy like a Drew Holiday, like, you know, legendary or something. So I'm like, all right, I got these ones. I can sell these ones. I can flip it into this one. So it's like that. So half of it definitely like you have like the investment side of it because it's booming so much. But then that other half of it, just like, yo, this is really fun to play, you know, to collect, really fun to just, you know, do that. Like I'll be negotiating with people in Discords and they'll be like, negotiating over like $5. I'm like, nah, I'm gonna give you $9.50. They're like, nah, like $9.75. Nah, I want them to take mine just because I'm competitive. I'm like, nah, $9.50 and no deal. You know, so it's that stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then they get mad at me like, you're an NBA player, like, you know, fighting over $25. I'm like, nah, I'm just competitive. I just gotta have you go with my deal, you know?
Well, look, I know that part of this is like, you know, like baseball cards or something. You get packs, right? It's that same construction. And I don't know how much money was on the line, Perk, in the Super Bowl bet that you're not talking about on the air. but I think I have a way for Josh to pay you back because our friends at NBA Top Shot are going to have him gift you a pack.
Oh.
So, Josh, tell us about what you're doing to gift him a pack.
Well, Rachel, let me say this. I actually owe Josh.
We're not talking about it.
I owe Josh, and now I'm getting a gift from Josh. Hey, look, you a great dude, Josh. You're my favorite player today. I appreciate it.
Hey, Kendrick, this is not the way bets are supposed to work.
It's okay. See, Rachel, this is what we're going to do. He's going to pull the packs. And then what that real fire card, he's gonna have to give me that. That moment. It's gonna be the interest that's gonna collect over the time, you know what I mean? But nah, it's definitely on like behalf of Top Shot and the jump, we wanna, you know, gift you a running backpack. So you know, that one is moments that happened before.
All right, so we have a run it back segment on the show, so this seemed perfect to us. And Josh, you're gonna talk us through the unpacking. What do we do now? Perfect. How does this work once this comes up on your
screen? All right, so obviously you hit this, it loads a little bit, but then the music that starts playing. So you see the moments pop up. So these moments pop up, and then you see the ones that are like have the blue at the bottom. That's like the rare ones. So that's like a little bit that better card. The one that got like the gray are like more like the common ones. So usually when I open them or I do like a, you know, opening on Twitch or something, I open all like the gray or black ones first and then save like the three rare ones for the end. So.
Well, Perk, this is your pack.
We can start with this.
You can start with that one. Jared.
Okay. Jared Allen. And Perk, one thing, like, this is also good because obviously he's not with Brooklyn no more, so there's not going to be too many more moments of him in a Brooklyn jersey. So obviously that gives that some added value to it.
All right, what else?
Well, Josh, look, I know you said go with the ones with the gray under the bottom, but I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to start off with
Let's
the
do
blue.
It.
Top left corner. Open it up, Nate.
All right, producer Nate's clicking.
Yeah, okay, I got this one too. I got this Mo Williams layup.
Oh, okay. All right, Mo.
He definitely ain't mean to do that. That was sure luck. but that's one of the ones I got. Already off the bat, that's you know, that card is worth, you know, several grand. Ooh. So I mean, so you have that, you know, it's cool to collect it, but then you also have like I said, the you know, the money investment aspect of it also.
All right, what else you got open, Kirk? Ooh, look at that one.
I'm going all blues right there in the middle.
All Miami blues? Beat.
Open it up.
Oh yeah, this is good. Is this from the finals too? So you got the finals, but Perk, if you look at the top right, the serial number, your serial number is 15 out of that. So the lower the serial number, the more the value goes up. You know, so
okay.
Right, so if that was number serial number 9, because Kelly Olynyk jersey's number 9, you know, that would even go hot, you know, crazy hot.
Open up all the blues. Let's go, Rach. We got to get some.
Last one. All right. What do we got?
Okay, from L.A. Let's see what you get. Oh, that's tough.
Oh.
Ooh.
Hey, Perk.
Two-time MVP.
Hey, Perk. I'm not going to lie, Perk. I'm actually really jealous about that one.
This could be the Super Bowl bet one. This one might
No, no, Rachel. No, Rachel. Forgot about that. Don't remind them.
Hey, Perk, I just want to let you know, the lowest ask for that card I just looked at is $8,800.
Ooh.
So that's the lowest ask of it. The last sale for that one, you know, they range from $10,000 to $14,000. So you got a nice little pickup on that one, my guy.
That's what I'm talking about.
Gosh, much for joining us. A little Top Shot education for Kendrick. I don't want to know what happens to those cards after between the two of you, but those moments, those non-fungible tokens, that's between you boys. Thank you so much for joining us, though, Josh.
Appreciate you, Jay Hart.
Recently celebrated another one. Good. And we'll see you with the rest of the season with the Pels.
Definitely. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Perk, I'm going to holler at you.
Oh, Perk, I'd be careful picking up that phone. Coming up, Kawhi Leonard plans to play in the Olympics. Will other NBA stars follow? We will discuss that next right here on The Jump. Keep it locked. All right, let's take a look at today's difference makers brought to you by CarMax, featuring the Milwaukee Bucks and Fiserv, giving back to small black-owned businesses. Take a look here.
We need to give businesses access to capital. We need to focus on black minority-owned businesses. We've got to figure out how to give financial literacy, sustainable courses and learning and redundancy.
At Fiserv, we have a proud history of supporting small businesses across the country. We know that they are the backbone of our economy.
The Bucks, Fiserv, they have a surprise for you guys today. Instead of $1,000 grants for you, we're going to give you guys a $10,000 grant today for you and your businesses. So, let's give the grants. Congratulations to all of you.
Very, very cool from the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes.
All right, welcome back to The Jump. The Olympics in 4.5 months, but one all-star has already given his plan for the summer. That is Clippers' Kawhi Leonard, who spent 7 years playing for current USA basketball coach Greg Popovich, of course, in San Antonio, and now says, we'll let him explain his outlook. This is from yesterday.
I think a lot of people were in for 2020, but just that pandemic pretty much killed everything. But right now, my plan is to go, but it doesn't really matter on the success that we have. If I feel up to it and feel ready to go around that time, then, I'm gonna play.
So just to explain the scenario, if the Clippers, say, were to make the finals and go to 7 games, there would only be one day from the end of the finals until the beginning of the Olympics. That is why USA Basketball has petitioned FIBA and the IOC to allow roster changes during the Olympic Games. It's never happened before. It's normally your team is your team. But they're basically saying, because of the tight turnaround, hey, we need to be able to switch out the roster, let's say, after the qualifying, once we get into the medal round. We'll see if that flies or not. Now, Steph Curry had previously committed to the Olympics in 2020 as well. Said last month, though, he had, quote, no idea if he'd be able to compete this summer. Perk, do you think other stars will follow Kawhi to the 2021 Olympics, even with that tight turnaround?
I do. And look at Kawhi, Rachel, stepping up on the front line and being the leader. But he want to be reunited, and it feels so good with his old coach, Greg Popovich. getting back together. But look, let me tell you something, Rachel. I had a chance to be on the Olympic team. Well, I got invited to try out for the Olympic team in 2008, and I turned it down. Biggest mistake, one of the biggest mistakes of my life. It haunts me to this day. And with this opportunity with Kawhi, his first time being able to be on the Olympic team, I'm proud of him, and don't take it for granted. Any other guys out there like Steph Curry, I want to see him go ahead and play for the Olympics, go try to win him a gold medal as well. And I strongly believe other guys will follow because everyone loves Kawhi.
Maybe the pandemic broke my brain because I just haven't been able to think 4 months ahead and imagine like how it's going to take place. What are they going to look like? Who might go? I just haven't. It hasn't gotten into my brain space. But and by the way, you wouldn't blame any player whose team got far in the bubble, quick turnaround into the season, far into the playoffs, and then saying, you know what? I just don't think I have the bandwidth to fly to Japan and play in the Olympics and get to know a whole new protocol environment. You couldn't blame anybody for doing that, but I agree with Perk. I think most stars will go because the Olympics is still the Olympics. It still means something different than any other sporting event in the world. And I think most players who are asked will probably go, but you couldn't blame, man, if you make the finals or the conference finals and you made them the previous year, you wouldn't blame anyone for saying, you know what, I just need to just exit basketball for a little while.
And you have to remember, though, too, and I agree with you, Zach, I wouldn't blame anyone, but there is pressure on some of these players, especially some of the more international stars who are the best player and their team's only chance of doing well in an Olympic tournament from some of these other countries. So it'll be interesting to see who does what, where, and when. All right, up next, more Steph Curry, because he said, oh, this was the mic drop line of the night last night. He still has a lot to accomplish, but nothing more to prove. Is that the right mindset for Steph? Stay tuned. It's crunch time here on The Jump, and thank you, Laura. All right, instead of giving Obi Toppin and Anthony Simons a score on their last dunks, the winner was decided by, quote, judge's choice, also known as the D-Wade rule. Zach, do you see this being a mainstay in the dunk contest? Just pick the guy you like best.
Thumbs up, I like it. And I think we should do 50% judges, 50% fans on Twitter or something, get to have the same either or vote. Let's bring the fans back into it. But I like it, it's simple, it's clean. Let's pick a winner and move on.
No, Zach, we can't just change tradition like that because of this moment. It was just because of a one day thing and they had to ease it in. I mean, had to fit in the slam dunk contest. Go back to the normal way of scoring the thing, the dunk contest, Zach. We just can't change tradition like that.
Well, you might not like this other proposed change in tradition because not only did Steph Curry win the three-point shootout, he also dropped 28 points, hit 8 threes as Team LeBron took the win. And there were suggestions from some other NBA players, Perk, that they rename the trophy just after him. So we'll have to see if that happens. Not the MVP trophy, but the three-point.
I love it.
Anyway, after the game, Steph asked about what fuels him and what is left for him to accomplish. Here is what he said, quote, I have a lot left to accomplish. I don't have anything to prove. Perk, I love this. What was your reaction?
I love it, too, because he don't have anything to prove. If Steph Curry retired today, in my eyes, he's a top 20 player. But guess what? He's not retiring today. And so he has a chance to not only add to his individual accolades, which I think he would do, but team accolades. And I think Steph Curry wants to win another title and wants to win a Finals MVP. And when it's all said and done, he will be a top 10 player to ever play the game.
I think he wants to win all that, but I think he's right. He doesn't need to win anything
right.
else. He has made his case.
Thanks, fix your body, Lane.
Zach, thanks to Josh Hart. We'll be back tomorrow.